So Essie Hinton, in her famous novel called The Outsiders, introduces us to two groups, the Socs and the Greasers, right? Ha ha ha, here we are, right there. Flashback. Hey, those styles are in, don't laugh. Jean jackets are in. And in this novel and in this movie, we learn that the Greasers, they're from the poor part of town. And they have to scrape by to get what they want and what they need in life. Where the Socs, they're the rich kids. Everything is handed to them. So in this plot, of course, the Greasers detest the Socs and the Socs detest the Greasers. Hence the whole movie you're about to see, right? And in this battle, what happens is that Johnny and Ponyboy and Dally, they actually meet Sherry Valance. Great topic, right? Of course, there's got to be a girl. And they're at a drive-in movie theater, right? If you were born in like 1990, we can talk later about what a drive-in movie theater is. And so they meet Sherry Valance, and Sherry Valance is a Soc, right? And so Ponyboy just really, it's just a friendship, but the Soc guys do not like this. And Bob Sheldon is sort of the arch enemy. And later that night, of course, Bob and the Soc gang beat up Johnny and Ponyboy. But at one sort of climactic moment, Ponyboy is almost getting drowned by Bob Sheldon, right? And so Johnny, that's the Karate Kid, in case you know that image. And Johnny rushes over and stabs Bob Sheldon, and he dies. And it's just terrible, right? They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what was going to happen. So Johnny and Ponyboy have to go find Dally, and Dally, they go away. They have to figure out what they're going to do. And so they're hiding out at this church, figuring this all out. Johnny and Ponyboy, and they finally decide that we got to turn ourselves in. So they're heading back into town to turn themselves in, and they see a church, a different church that's on fire, right? And they hear screaming children over these raging flames. And so this is like the whole movie pivots on this fire. This, what is going to happen here, right? This is like the slowdown. You're invited to think about what would you do? Right? And so immediately Johnny is rushing into that church and he's pulling out kids. And then Ponyboy follows him. And then Dally, like the hardest hearted greaser there is there pulling out kids from this fire. And of course, their bodies endured burns and a beam fell on Johnny. And they make it out, but they're all taken to the hospital. And now the story turns on this inciting moment of this fire at this church. It meant everything, and everything changes with the Socs and the Greasers, because now they have to talk about the things that matter in life. Someone has died. Bob Sheldon has died. Kids almost died. And now Johnny is on his deathbed, right, with these burns, these third-degree burns all over his body. And so this fire becomes this incredible image of this inciting change in their community. The fire. And we learn there's them in the fire. And we learn throughout the Bible that the Holy Spirit is like a fire. And when we talk about metaphors, we all learn through metaphors. It's through comparing what something is and what something is not that we learn what it can be for our life. And so the Holy Spirit is like a fire. It's something that always is inciting change in this world. And so inciting, this word means to stir, to urge, to cajole, to awaken, to stimulate, to prompt, to excite, to goad, to spur, to convict, and to challenge. And so I laughed this week when I thought about, I have walked you through the dove, the cloud, the advocate, and the water, which are like beautiful heavenly images. And then I threw down the fire, right? And so fire is catalytic, right? Fire is a kick. Fire is powerful. It's got this dynamism to it, whereas the dove brings us the message of peace, and that's really cool. But today, we're talking about fire, about this uncontrollable, uncontainable, this thing that we cannot live without, but it's almost hard to bear at times, right? And so what's fascinating to me is that in the beginning of the Bible, we have this story of Moses, right? And Moses is not unlike are outsiders' friends, not unlike Pony Boy and Johnny. He lives close to the Pharaoh's family, but in his life he figures out that he was an Israelite. He was Jewish. And during one day when a Jew was fighting with an Israelite, remember, the Jews are enslaved. They're doing all the labor to build the big Pharaoh's pyramids. And he actually, Moses, kills an Egyptian. And so he has to flee. He's in big trouble. Now he went from being on the in to on the outside, right? And he's shunned by the Egyptians. So he finds a place in Midian. And he finds a welcoming, loving family. And he's a shepherd doing meaningful work. He has a wife. He has a family. Jethro, his father-in-law, is a good, honest man. But you see the setup. His life was always meant for more, right? There's always something, this ache in his heart for something more. And one day he takes the sheep out, and the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And this is the burning bush, right? That fire. And of course, we all know this incredible story, right? The Lord speaks from the bush, take your shoes off, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And so then the passage tells us that this fire, this burning bush, this is the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This is incredibly important in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament. They are naming this fire is from this God, the God who has rescued you and protected you and guided you, the God of steadfast love. So there's Moses. He's in front of this burning bush, and then the passage says this amazing thing. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So this is the God who hears the cries of those who suffer. This is the God who is always about the margins. This is the God who lives on the margins with those who are outcasted and hurt and wounded and on the outside. And this God is inciting this change with Moses, right? Inviting Moses to be a part of this like epic story where the slaves will become free and there will be this reign of freedom and love in the world, right? And what's fascinating to me is that the Holy Spirit is like a fire that creates a new world. Everywhere this fire is working, creating more just structures and systems in our world. And everywhere this fire creates new selves. Because when you are invited to go do something, when you're invited to go into a building and save kids, when you're invited to go save a nation, this fire is going to change you. It's going to consume you. And then it creates new relationships with others, right? All of a sudden, there's this shift in the universe, right? The Sochas and the Greasers no longer become, this is silly. This is human life. These are people who are dying, right? And we drop all our categories. Scales fall from our eyes. Because of this inciting fire. And so we come to the buddy Christ. And many of you have seen Dogma with Matt Damon and sort of the criticisms of the Catholic Church and so on and so on. And we have this really interesting problem in North America of like, we want the buddy Christ, right? We want the buddy Christ to kind of give us a thumbs up, like, you're doing great, right? Keep going. And the problem with the buddy Christ is that we need more than the buddy Christ. Right? Think about like being a parent. It's okay to be your kid's friend, but man, you better be more than a friend too. You better point them in the right way or we're gonna have a lot of trouble on our hands. I remember when I was 18 years old and they asked me to be the youth pastor from the church that I grew up in. And I was like, this is amazing. But you have to remember, like, those were like my friends. I was leading my friends, right? And it was awesome and it was great. But as I grew, like, and I started to learn, and I've done youth ministry like my whole life, and as you start to grow, like year eight, it's like, you can't be their friends if you want to be their leader all the time. There are hard conversations. You have to protect them. You have to be safe. You have to lead their hearts in what is right and true. So the buddy Christ is not enough. So we're going to look right now at an image of Jesus in the Bible that is challenging, right? And so I think this is one of the most challenging verses in the New Testament. Luke 12:49, Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. And we all take a deep breath of, wow, that does not sound like a buddy Christ to me, right? And it's interesting, this is the only time this verse is said in all four Gospels. We know that there's four Gospels, and they borrowed from each other, and they use different sources. The only time this verse, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. And this verse just really got in my heart and in my mind, and I'm trying to think it through this week and think, how? What does this mean? So I had to look at some other verses, and if you remember the great story, Jesus' sort of beginning of his ministry, John the Baptist is sort of like the good prophet in town, and everyone was going down to the waters to be baptized. They were calling for this renewal in Israel, right? And then John the Baptist says this about Jesus. He says this to the people of when Jesus is present. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more perfect than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So John the Baptist says this, and it's this tough imagery for us of this unquenchable fire, this God of the fire, and it just made me think, keep thinking about this. This is not your buddy Christ. This is a God who challenges us, because after all, anytime you think your God is made in your own image, that's not a God, right? There's always something more, something challenging about this God. And then lastly, in Hebrews 12:29, this verse says, for indeed our God is a consuming fire, right? And so it made me think, the Holy Spirit is like a fire. And I just started thinking about that the Holy Spirit is now our new burning bush. So Moses is not the only one that gets to participate in this amazing thing of wonder, right? Because of the Holy Spirit, every one of us every day encounters the fire that comes from God. It's as if the burning bush is like portable now, right? And so check this out. And it's this awesome call that we live under the life of Jesus now, and we live with Jesus' teachings. And so the burning bush teaches us to love deeper. And this is what the Shema is all about, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So our burning bush is in the eyes and the faces of every person we meet, our sons, our daughters, our friends, calling us to a deeper kind of love, a fire stirring us, encouraging us, challenging us to truly see the humanity in everyone's eyes and to give life to them and to invest our hearts into them, right? And then the Holy Spirit is like a burning bush, and we're called to forgive quicker. Remember that story where Jesus says, the disciples are like, you know, how many times should we forgive this lady? She's done this so many times. 7 times, you know, that sounds like pretty fair. And Jesus says, 70 times seven. And of course, this is like, it's like, don't try to do the math. It's like, just keep forgiving people, right? That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. And so every time we are wronged and we feel hurt, we're called to forgive quicker. The burning bush has come to our life, right? And this is hard, and this is tough. But I love what Anne Lamott says, that forgiveness is choosing to drop the punching gloves. It's amazing, the let go. And then the burning bush comes to us in the call of Jesus. It says in the Gospel of Mark, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we know that this irony of life is that we find ourselves when we serve others. It's just this beautiful thing that when we accumulate more for ourselves, or when we think it's all about us, that it's really quite miserable as a human, right? But when we give to others, we find the burning bush. We find service that is greater. And then we receive. Tim has pressed me on this one so many times of that this gospel is also about us receiving. And there's this great verse in Ephesians that says, it is by grace that you are being saved. This is a gift, not by works, so that no one can boast. The burning bush also comes to us every time someone does something kind and nice for us. We receive the great gift of love that God has for us, right? And then lastly, we stand stronger. And there's an incredible verse in 1 Timothy that says, you were not given a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of love, of power, and of self-discipline. And so we have far too many Plato people in the world. That's amen, right? And what we need is sturdy, strong people, people who stand up with conviction, who learn to love and forgive and offer compassion. The burning bush comes every time we find within ourselves that, like, that malleable Plato. We find ourselves not standing strong, not standing up for what's right in our life. So the Holy Spirit becomes our burning bush, inciting us, challenging us for change, a change that works within us, in our relationships with others, and in the world. This is the Holy Spirit that stirs and urges and cajoles and awakens and stimulates and prompts and excites and goads and spurs and convicts and challenges. So I want to ask you, have you encountered the burning bush, the challenge to love greater, to serve better, to forgive quicker, to receive, right, to stand stronger? And I want to ask you, will you on this day ask the Holy Spirit to help you to love deeper, forgive quicker, serve greater, receive better, and stand stronger? At the very end of The Outsiders, of course, you know that Johnny is going to die, right? He's in the hospital. It's terrible. The tissues are all out in your living room as you watch this movie. And then, of course, Johnny writes this letter. And he says, "Ponyboy, the doctor came in a while ago, but I knew anyway. I keep getting tireder and tireder. Listen, I don't mind dying now. It's worth it. It's worth saving those kids. Their lives are worth more than mine. They have more to live for. Some of their parents came by to thank me, and I know that it was worth it. Tell Dally it's worth it. I'm just going to miss you guys." So we have this awesome picture of someone who found the burning bush and courageously ran for it, right? And found his life transformed, his friendships transformed, and his world transformed.